Welcome to the 64th edition of the Wolves Women podcast. I'm your host, Nick, and tonight on this special interview pod, I'm joined by Jess.
Hi, everyone.
I'm joined by Matt.
Hello.
And I'm joined by Tom.
Hi, everyone.
And today it's a really interesting interview we've done. I mean, we've interviewed some former players of our wonderful club, but tonight we're going to be talking to a former opposition manager in Andy Fisher, formerly of Stourbridge. Welcome, Andy.
Evening. Thank you for having me.
No, it's a pleasure, mate. Obviously, recently you were sort of doing co-commentary on one of the Calcer games and did sort of give us a bit of feedback on how our loan players were doing. So really appreciate that. So thank you very much for that.
Yeah, no problem.
Welcome onto the show. And I know you sort of we had a bit of banter, obviously, after the game at the New Bucks Head. So I do appreciate that we've still managed to keep you on side enough to keep and come and join us on the show. So it is really appreciated. How we'll do this, listeners, is we'll do sort of the first half of the show will be about sort of Andy's time in football, Stourbridge in particular, and then second half we'll look at sort of Andy's views on Wolves or Wolves Women and sort of get his sort of take. Obviously, this is ahead of the big Women's FA Cup game on Sunday down at the New Bucks Head. Wolverhampton Wanderers are hosting Stourbridge in the FA Cup. So it'll be a really good cracking game. And I'm sure that everyone will be down there from both sets of fans looking forward to a great game of football. But to kick us straight off, Tom, do you want to come in first and sort of crack on?
Yeah, hi, Andy. First of all, did you ever play football? And if so, which team did you play for?
Yeah, I played football, not at a massively high level, if I'm honest, Tom. So I played at Wolverhampton United, so not far from Wolves, actually. So in and around the kind of the West Midlands regional levels, and then kind of just went into men's management from there. So just as a kid, Sedgley White Lions, those kind of local teams in and around. I'm a Gornal boy myself, grown up from, in and around Gornal. So nothing major in terms of playing wise. It was more kind of management after, but yeah, just kind of West Midlands regional level, Wolverhampton United and so on from there, really. So nothing major in terms of a playing career, if I'm honest.
Just out of interest, Andy, what position did you play?
So centre mid. When I was a kid, right back, then went into centre mid. And you've seen me on the sideline, so you can imagine how I played. ended up having a couple of injuries in the end with meniscus. I had my meniscus done, meniscus injury, playing that level, and then I've had it reoccur over the last 6 months. So had an operation 6 months ago. So yeah, just regional level, really. Nothing major playing wise.
Go on, Matt.
Yeah, what tempted you to get into the coaching and management side of things?
Yeah, so my coaching journey goes back, people probably don't know this actually, goes back to when I was 17. I left school, got into sports and recreation. My plan was to be a PE teacher, but got into sports and recreation. And at the time, one of the biggest focuses, so you're talking, I'm 37 now, so you're talking nearly 20 years ago, one of the biggest focuses in the area I was working in, it was the deprived area in Dudley, was to kind of raise the profile of girls' football. And interestingly, a bit of a strange link here is, I don't know if you lot know, Laura Nichols. Who was Laura Milburn at the time. So yeah. Laura Nichols is obviously linked massively with Wolves and has been for years. With the women's section, so Laura was head of girls football, or linked with the FA at the time, actually. And one of the we linked up. I can't tell you how we did it, but we linked up. She was part of the FA. I was, working in a leisure centre, and one of the biggest things we wanted to do was raise the profile of girls football. And she was like, do a football team, try and get girls playing football. And literally, it came from that. Linked up with Laura really well. We ended up then creating a girls' football team in the local area. It was called Hillcrest at the time. So it was linked with a school in the area. And it went from there. I ended up then kind of getting in coaching from there, developing girls' football. We ended up having three girls teams, you know, a couple of women's teams. We had the Central Venue League was based at the venue I worked at, and it just went from there, and I haven't looked back. Took a bit of time out from girls football eventually, carried on playing a little bit, and then went into men's football, managed my brother locally, went to Willinor, Gornal Athletic at Wolverhampton United. Yeah, so did a bit of men's football and then got back into women's football, I think probably around 2014.
Go on, Jess.
Did you always want to coach in women's football? You kind of touched on it there, but was it ever something you thought about before you got involved in it?
No, I mean, I loved it, Jess, at the time when I was kind of doing all that and you were building something. It felt very different back then when, you know, 20 odd years ago when I was 17, the girls game, it felt very, very different to the kind of project I felt I was in when I returned back into it in 2014. So it felt very, you know, old fashioned, as I said, I don't know if that's the right word. It was very behind the times. It wasn't the massive focus. It was, you know, it was still very much in the early stages, really think about it 20 years ago. So, but I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I clocked then, you know, at that young age myself, really, I clocked then that the women's game, the girls' game was completely different. But, you know, so much, you know, really enjoyable. So kind of when I then went away and did a bit of men's football, you know, I loved coaching, I loved managing, you know, men's football as well. It was only kind of when then some of the girls I coached when they were young girls reached back out and were like, you know, we're all playing at different clubs at women's level now, you know, could we reform? And we did that. We reformed in 2014 as Hillcrest. And then the season after, went over to Kew for the Eagles, which I'm sure you all know from the King's Winford area. And then we ended up winning the league with that group. And then Stourbridge came knocking and well, history was. So I've just loved it. It's Jess, I've said it. It's I think one of my comments are, you know, it's the same sport, but a completely different game. It's just incredible. I love the women's game. And it's just a different energy for me.
Yeah, you've touched on it there. You're associated now with Stourbridge and the back-to-back-to-back promotions. But what actually brought you to Stourbridge in the end then?
Yeah, so interestingly, the times that I've just briefed on with Hillcrest, we were playing. I had a quick look last night because I knew you were going to kind of touch base on some of the times, some of my past really. And the team that we formed, Hillcrest, we were playing in the same league as Stourbridge. Stourbridge were one of the front runners at the time, you know, in Tier 8. They were promoted to Tier 7. So we played against Stourbridge a couple of times and got quite a good respect with their manager. Well, their manager left just as they'd been promoted from Tier 7 to Tier 6, going into the West Mids. And Stourbridge basically approached me and said, you know, would you be interested? So I went down and met with Andy Bullingham, the vice chairman, and never looked back from them, really.
Yeah, it's been a good few years there, has it? Tom, do you want to come in on next point there, please?
Yeah, as a manager, what was it like managing players during the difficult COVID period?
Yeah, horrific. It was really, really tough. When I think back to that time, I mean, we were, if you remember, you lot will probably know this, and Macca does, because I was in touch with Macca at the time. You know, we were in a really strong position and I think the week it was all curtailed, we were due to play Kidderminster Harriers. We were top. We'd already beat them at home. We were due to play them again. And ultimately, if we'd have won, we'd have been crowned champions. And it was that week. It was all put to bed, really. So it was devastating, you know, and we'd have been a year ahead of ourselves at Stourbridge, if you think about it. It was tough, but we did a lot behind the scenes, as did other teams, as I know. You know, we kept the players active. I remember us doing Zoom fitness sessions, quizzes, just to keep us all going. And it just shows the strength of the group, really, because we lost no one at that time. We kept together and managed to get promoted the season after, albeit it was if you remember, it was upward movement. Wolves, I think Wolves did the same, didn't they?
Yeah, we did.
So Wolves, we did. So it was an upward movement. So it even got stopped then. So those two seasons were crazy. You forget about that, actually, thinking about it. You forget about the journeys that you know, the teams have been on to get to that point as well with that COVID. So it was tough times, but managed well, and full credit to the group of players I had at the time. They handled it really well.
Yeah, it was very tough. Matt?
Yeah, I'm sure the back-to-back-to-back promotions is probably the highlight of your career so far, but maybe aside from that, what would you say is the next best highlight?
Related to Stourbridge, related to football?
Either. Yeah.
Listen, the back-to-back promotions have been great. Of course, they have. They're the kind of the, and I think one of the questions online, I think somebody asked on Twitter, is similar to this. The success of the back-to-back is the overall view, isn't it? It's the outcome, you know, yes, getting those promotions. But there's so much more involved in that, you know, so much more. I think one of the highlights for me, and we harp on about it, or Stourbridge harp on about it a lot, is the Derby game in the FA Cup. And that season, where we got to the third round of the FA Cup, if you remember, we played Sheffield United down at the War Memorial. What a remarkable achievement, probably understated, really, you know, not by Stourbridge, because we harp on about it all the time, but... it was a great moment. We're playing a Derby County, who I think was second, or you know, they were pushing Wolves, weren't they? Yeah. Wolves were pushing them. You know, it was a really, really tough game. We went in there, we defended for our lives, went 1-0 down within the first 20 seconds. And the way we won the game, you know, with Courtney Murphy, the captain, coming on back from injury, hits the ball from just over the halfway line. And those celebrations, that moment, were just like, wow, there's something special here. And what a great moment. And then for us to go on and then get, you know, get to the third round of the FA Cup was just remarkable. So that for me stands out and will always stand out.
And obviously you got, as you say, you got Blades down to your place, and which would have been, you know, sort of big statement. Oh, wow. Sort of, yeah, really good.
Yeah.
Go on, Jess.
If you were to have your time at Stourbridge again, what would be one thing that you'd do differently?
Oh, good question. I wouldn't have resigned before the Fylde game, I tell you that now. And after 7-1 against 7-1 against Derby, I tell you. Jess, that's a good question. I wouldn't change a thing. I really wouldn't, because what we've achieved, what I've done at Stourbridge is absolutely remarkable. You know, there's nothing I would change at all. I regret stepping away every day since I have. I'm going to be really blatant because I miss it. You know, watching them travel to Newcastle at the weekend and that it's hard to see. I love it. I think it's great. You know, and me being a part of it and building that for them is great. And I take that with me. But I do massively regret having to step away. But I know it was the right decision at the time and the right thing, and I still believe in that. But it's it's really tough seeing it. It would be even tougher watching them in the FA Cup again on Sunday. But that's just part of it. But honestly, Jess, I wouldn't change anything. It's been an amazing journey. It really has.
Out of interest, what makes a good manager?
Up until this season, I'd have said. Player management, man management, you know, without a shadow of a doubt for me. Good leadership with that group. When I think about the players that, you know, I've had to keep happy in a 16 or 20, we haven't had back-to-back promotions based on 11 players. We had back-to-back promotions because we were able to keep a really good core group and have a good, strong 16 to 18, you know, when injuries hit. When I think about last season, just after Christmas, you know, we signed Lexi Harrison and Lois Jeffries, and bringing those players in made the difference for the push on for us to get to, you know, get promoted to Tier 3. So it's, for me, it's how you manage those group of players, how you rotate game time, how you keep everybody happy. And you're not going to keep everybody happy, but for me, Mike's a really successful manager on the pitch. I think for me, what I've done at Stourbridge is all the stuff kind of behind the scenes, getting people in and around you that are good in their fields. You know, I think it was Jurgen Klopp, I always quote it really. Jurgen Klopp, I think, once said, you know, as a manager, you're not the best at being a physio. You're not the best at being the goalkeeper coach. You're not the best at being, you know, a sports therapist or whatever. What you do is you get the best people around you, and then you key off them. And that's what I felt we did at Stourbridge, really. Brought in some really key people, you know, who are still there now, and managed to kind of key off them. And I think that's what makes you successful, for sure. And I think Macca at Wolves, he's done the same. You know, he's got a great people, you know, great group of people around him. So,
yeah, Tom.
Yeah, so Sportesses have asked, success comes in many forms in your managerial career. How would you define success, Andy?
Yeah, I think I've touched on that a little bit. I don't think it's down to just the back-to-back promotions or the trophies and, you know, the winning championships. I think that's the kind of end goal. I think success for me is the foundations, for me personally, of what's been built at Stourbridge. If you think about kind of 7 years ago when I walked through the door and, you know, we'd not got I remember the first training session, you know, we've got no kit, you know, we've got probably two or three footballs, we're on a park pitch. The girls were fundraising at the men's games to get money for their tracksuits. They were paying subs to the point where, you know, they're playing Newcastle at the weekend over a seven-year period with you know, COVID in the middle of that, with girls' section booming, full-time staff, you know, Stourbridge employee full-time staff, you know, similar to Wolves and other big teams now. I think that for me shows that's where I get my kind of gratitude from and my satisfaction, sorry, is the success of building such a foundation with the other people, with, you know, the vice chairman, the chairman who backed me from the moment I walked in and wanted to do all these things. I think that for me is the success that you can say, you know, that's why you got the cup, the cup wins and the promotions, because you built such a foundation and such a great ethos and culture around the club, and I hope that continues. I really do.
Yeah, do you know what? It just triggered something there. I saw Esme Miranda tweeted out, and I'll just read it because it's really quite, yeah, it links really in. Still reflecting on yesterday. No one likes to lose, but 4 years ago, I was playing on park pitches for the same club. Yesterday, I got to play against a full-time team from a Premier League club in front of 4,000 people. Can't complain about much. I think that does sum up what you've just been saying as well, really reinforces that.
News.
So I'll talk about players. Matt, do you want to come in? So you've got a question about players.
Yeah, you talk about the team ethos and stuff like that and the foundations you built, but are there any players maybe in particular, because you've obviously worked with a lot of very good players, are there any players in particular, I know it's hard to single them out, but some there that you can comment on that maybe were a big part of your success?
Labby, Amber Lawrence, you know, we all know very well. It's a shame that she's had to move on, but when I think about, you know, going back to what Esme just said, when I think about the change, very early on, for probably 3 years on into the Stourbridge project, when we decided, you know, we were going to pay expenses and really try and push the boundaries for local, you know, football. Amber Lawrence was at Kidderminster Harriers, who were at that level, you know, probably better than us. You know, they'd beaten us several times in, you know, a couple of years before, and Lammy was playing for them. And so when I kind of was able to pitch the project to her and she signed over, for me, she didn't need to do that. She got a lot of friends at Kidderminster Harriers. She was doing okay. She was comfortable. She came over because she kind of believed in me and me as a manager, but also kind of what the project was about. And she never looked back, you know, and that for me showed a real massive amount of loyalty, you know, and she stuck with me all the way. She then obviously, you know, fell pregnant and had a little one and then came back and, you know, was still able to perform and score goals. And yes, tier three probably hasn't worked out for her under the new manager, but, you know, for me, she stands out. And there are stacks I could go through, you know, but she stands out just as an all-round advocate for the game, massive for the group of players on the pitch and off the pitch, you know, a great leader when she was captain and really loyal to me. So a real advocate for the game. And I hope, you know, she's seen a time out now at Kidderminster Harriers. I hope that works out and that's successful, and she can come and then get into the game off the field, which I think would be great for the women's game eventually for her. So yeah, Amber Lawrence.
Oh, we'll make sure she hears that. So yeah, Jess, you got another big hard hitting question coming for Andy.
Your final game for Stourbridge was against Wolves. Was that always the plan?
It was Derby, actually, my final game. If you remember, we played. Yeah, it was a three week game. So, a three game week. Sorry. So we played Wolves midweek, and then Derby was the last league game. Yes, no, it wasn't. We had Halifax on the Sunday. I'd already spoken, I don't know whether people know this, I'd already spoken to the club. I'd actually officially handed a resignation letter in pre-season. I'd spoken to the club about potentially my wishes of stepping away. For many reasons, really. Looking back in reflection, I needed a month. I needed a break. I hadn't had a break. We won the league at tier four. And what I should have been doing was sitting back and relishing it a little bit and enjoying it. And I just didn't get a chance to do that for a number of reasons. Not just because of you've got to build it and you now got to build towards tier three, which was in my mind. Of course it was, it always was. But there was also lots of other little policies and procedures going on behind the scenes that kind of needed sorting out and needed tweaking. So the time when I should have been kind of resting, I wasn't. And, you know, that wasn't for the club. The club said to me, Andy, you need to go and take a month, take a break, have some time out. But I'm just not that type of person, Jess. I don't rest. I don't, you know, it's probably why I've been able to get success out of Stourbridge. I don't rest on, you know, the moment we've done a game on a Sunday, I'm looking at tactics and looking at the team for the next. That's just the way I work. So I didn't get a break. I didn't get a rest. I'd said to the club, I need to step away. They didn't want me to, and I understand. You know, we got there, we'd done all the hard work, we'd finally got to tier three. You know, they were like, let's see how it goes. So we started. Nottingham Forest was a really tough start. We could have defended like we have done against Wolves many times and kept the score low. You know, you saw that in the league game. But we didn't. We tried to show the girls what the tier was about and said, you know, go and try and match Nottingham Forest 4-3-3, go and press them. And it just backfired. You know, we found ourselves, I think it was 5-6-0 down at half time. But then we played, if you remember, we played at York in the Cup, and then we played Halifax away. And I don't know whether you know, I'm an assistant head teacher in a secondary school. So it was the end of the 6 weeks. We played Halifax. If I remember right, and I was back to work the next day, and I was on the couch on the way back, and I was just mentally, we got a great point against Halifax, we conceded in the last minute, so it was devastating, it was like a loss, but I just was emotionally drained, and I remember walking through my front door, and I just kind of just broke down in a sense, just felt, wow, it's overwhelmed me, it's too much, I needed a break. So we kind of then played the Wolves midweek, which was great, and it was heightened by all the drama, and the, you know, I got sent off within 20 minutes or 30 minutes. So I was gutted about that because I ended up having to watch the game, and I didn't want that to be the case. You know, I loved, regardless of playing Wolves and losing or, you know, being hammered for 90 minutes, as it is, I loved just being there on the sideline against Wolves, having a bit of banter with Macca and in front of the crowd. It's great experience. I was just gutted about that, and I just felt that part of that was my tiredness. And then kind of Derby, 1-0 at half-time we were, and we lost two or three players through injury at half-time or just after half-time, and we just capitulated. And I just remember sitting in the dugout, and I just thought, you know what, you can't continue at this level. You're gonna impact the team, you're gonna impact the club. You know you need a break. And that was it. Kind of spoke to the vice chairman the next day and sent my resignation in, and that was the way it was. But looking back at it, I just needed a break. I've had a month off now, and I feel so refreshed and you know, I feel ready to go again, and that's what I needed. But there was many reasons why I didn't get that break. So, bit of a shame, but is what it is. We're here now, and I'm looking for the next challenge when that comes.
Just on that, just a quick point. Do you think if you hadn't got promoted, and therefore you would have had another season in Tier 4, but you therefore had that chance to take a break, you'd still be in the game and therefore be able to carry on?
No, because if I'd have said to you, Tier 3, I thought about this. Yes, the results, winning is great, isn't it? You keep an happy camp. You know, when you're winning, you even if you're tired, you feel, well, we won today, you know, fantastic. If you lose 7-1 or 7-0, it makes it a little bit more difficult. I'm not going to run away from that. Of course it does. But it wasn't about that. It was, there wasn't much difference in terms of the demand for me. Stourbridge is Stourbridge. We weren't training every day of the week. We'd added a third session in, which was a gym session, but I wasn't going to those gym sessions. The staff were doing that for me. You know, so it didn't impact on my time. It was no different. It was just the time. It was just the moment. We won that league. We won the league trophy, and I just don't feel like I enjoyed winning that game. I did at the moment. In the moment, you know, lifting the trophy. The moment that happened, I didn't feel like I just got the time to go, oh, let's just relax a little bit now. Can we just go and enjoy Tier 3? I didn't, because we were having to look at players. So I was looking at staffing. There were staffing issues behind the scenes. You know, again, no one's fault, not the club's fault. I'm not saying that. We were having to organise bits and bobs, and that wasn't down to stepping up into Tier 3. It was just the way, you know, the process of the club. So I just didn't get that break that I felt I needed. And the club, like I say, the club offered me that break. They're set to go and have that break, but I didn't take it. So I honestly don't think it would have made a difference, because when you think about it, travelling to Halifax, we were doing Donnybells, we were doing Lincoln. The travel really, you know, is as similar. As a matter of fact, if you have a look, it's probably more local teams in this tier. So it wasn't much of a difference, if I'm honest. It wasn't.
Are you looking to get back into management then, or are you enjoying sitting, being a pundit and watching other managers under the pressure and having to sort of make those decisions?
I'm not enjoying it one bit. Not enjoying it. No, I am enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. It's good doing things like this. I've enjoyed it. But that, you know, for me, it's to keep myself in the game. I did it for a couple of weeks where I just went, right, okay, I'm going to shut social media off. I'm going to shut off, step away from the game. 2 weeks I did it, and then I was like, wow, I miss it so much. And I went back out, watched a few games, as you know, and kind of got back on social media with it. So for me, I'm looking at opportunities, whether that's management. I've had a few offers, some really, really great ones. I mean, the Donnybells, but how I was going to do travel 2.5 hours 3 times a week was going to be. But nice for them to reach out, you know, and teams like that. And there's been some other teams. But for me now, it's waiting for that kind of really perfect, near perfect opportunity for us to get back into it. Or just keep my toe in some kind of coaching, or in and around some of the teams in around Tier 3 and 4 potentially.
You want to come in, Tom, on that one?
Yeah, obviously we don't want to wish ill on another manager, but is there a club that you would like to manage in the future?
Can I say Stourbridge again? No, I'm joking.
Hey, whichever club you like.
No, that's... I tell you where I think a project waiting to happen, and I think it would be brilliant. It would suit me, you know. It's just the Albion situation. I know we spoke about it briefly off social media. I just think... What's going on there? Why are they not up there competing with Wolves, competing with that, you know, that kudos in that top five at Tier 3? They've got the badge, they get the players. You know, what a project if you could get whoever is behind the scenes there on side and back in that club. And Chef's doing a great job, by the way. You know, it's been a tough transition massively in pre-season for them. Having to change, obviously, I've lost quite a lot of players. I've gone to Stoke, etc. So, you know, to they're battling now the bottom half in and around Stourbridge, as we've seen with the result recently. So for me, that would be a really good project, you know. And I'm not saying as a manager, I'm saying, you know, that could be, you know, what did you do? What did we build at Stourbridge? Could you build there potentially? For me, it's almost like a project waiting to happen at Albion for me.
Yeah, definitely. It's Albion, when we sit here looking at it from the outside, it looks like, oh, it'll be brutal, bit of a car crash. Yeah, I mean, obviously we were at the game, as a pod at the Black Country Derby, where it was delayed kickoff by an under-14s boys team. Yeah, that's just, yeah, and you know, Stourbridge wouldn't have that, Wolves wouldn't have that. Why is that happening at West Brom? Good point. Matt?
Yeah, we've got a question from John Foster. What do you think Stourbridge needs to do now to make that jump to catch a team like Wolves?
Yeah, I love John, and I think he's great, and I think what he does for Stourbridge is fantastic. But I suppose my question is, do Stourbridge need to catch Wolves? Are they ever going to catch Wolves? Mm. Would be my realistic answer. I'd love to be able to turn around and say they can. It'd be my dream for them to do that. But you're talking about a Premier League club, you know, who, yes, haven't got the full backing, as you've alluded to many a times. As I know, they haven't got the full backing as of yet. I think time will tell with that. But have got a lot of backing, you know, a great manager, great support, training facilities, you know, full-time staff who are in and behind the scenes with the Wolves badge. You know, do Stourbridge need to be comparing themselves to that type of club? I don't think they do, and I don't think they can. I don't think they can, is my opinion. I think there's a ceiling for Stourbridge, and I think that needs to be realistic. I was realistic about that when I was manager, so it's not because I'm not there now more. And I think the club are realistic about it. I think if they are to establish themselves and close the gap, it is, as I've just said, establishing themselves like they've done over the last few weeks with great results, you know, establishing themselves at this level for the next two to three years. Because don't forget, this level is only going to get much tougher. You know, Wolves are seeing that now. Mac has seen that. You know, the Wolves should have been out of this division. Don't get me wrong, they should have been out of this division, you know, two seasons ago. But when you've got the Newcastle full times coming in, don't you know, Newcastle aren't going to be the only team who are going to do that now. You know, whoever doesn't win it this year, you'd expect are going to go, right, okay, if Newcastle win it, we've got to go and do the same, and so on and so on. And your bigger clubs are going to eventually come through. So your Stourbridges of the world, you know, what does the future hold for them? So for me, it's about really small steps. Stourbridge, regardless of the results, fantastic results, are absolutely still well and truly in a relegation battle. As we speak, is mounting time. So it's about establishing themselves in tier three, which I think they will. I think they'll stay up. I think they're good enough to stay up. I think there's teams worse than them. And then seeing how they progress. I think one of the toughest challenges that probably I didn't touch on was the pre-season kind of, you know, transfer. Normally we'd be promoted, we'd get our five new players in, and we'd be away. We just couldn't do that this year because there was so much movement and change, and we were going into, you know, a tier where nobody really, you know, who are Stourbridge, what are they all about? If they establish themselves and they get the results like they have done against Stoke and Albion, you know, players are going to start turning their heads like a couple have already. And that's, for me, is the key focus. I don't think it's about necessarily looking at can we compete with Wolves or be up there with Wolves. It's closing that gap a little bit for me. And I think that's what the focus is of the club. I know it is. I know what it is behind the scenes.
No, it's really interesting. And I think that's really sort of valuable insight there. And I think you've touched on lots of pertinent points that we've made over the time. I say a quick question. Just before we wrap up this first half, women's football is a small community. So criticism, your decisions, and I say you as a manager, but in general, and performance of your team is obviously more noticeable. How do you manage the sniping at times on social media from players' parents and other halves and brothers and sisters, etc.?
You just ignore it. Ultimately, it's hard to do, but it's opinions, isn't it? At the end of the day, football is full of opinions, you know. And you look at the changes that have happened at Stourbridge, you know, there's lots of new faces. Players have left that stuck around with me that probably wouldn't have left if I was there. That's football. That's what happens. You know, everyone's going to have opinions. You kind of have to distance yourself away from that, and ultimately believe in yourself. You know, at the end of the day, as a manager, if you've had the success that you've had and you've had back-to-back promotions, you're doing something right and you're making the right decisions, and that's what you've got to live by. You've got to have confidence in yourself. You're never going to please everybody.
Well, that brings us really neatly to the end of this first half of the show. Obviously, we'll welcome you all back after the break, where we'll talk to Andy about his time coming up against Wolves and what his views are of Wolves from the outside. See you after the break. Welcome back to this special interview edition of the Wolves Win podcast, where we're joined by Andy Fisher, formerly of Stourbridge. And we're now going to sort of dive into sort of Andy's time coming up against Wolves. Matt, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, so Andy, you've managed against Wolves a few times. Which one was your favourite?
Andy, hear us okay there?
Sorry, you're breaking up. You broke up a little bit. I can hear you now, I think.
Oh, there you go. Matt just asked, you've managed against Wolves a few times. Which was your favourite game to come up against Wolves?
Always the early one, really, which was the County Cup. I don't know if you remember it, down at Castlecroft, is it?
Yeah.
Very, very early on. We were obviously lower down. We were tier six at the time, the County Cup. And we managed to take you all right to penalties, which was just a great day, not just for us, but I think it was 550 there. For me, it was kind of one of the first times we'd experienced it. And I think even Wolves at the time, actually, I think it was quite a big crowd at the time to get down there at Wolves. So it was just a great, great, great day for me. I really enjoyed it. It was an horrible day, especially for, you know, it was a proper cup game for us, lower division team, muddy pitch. The fog came down. We were throwing in tackles. We went 1-0 up, defending for our lives. So I look back at that game and, I thought it was great. It was the very first time we'd ever met, and you know, just had the crowd, and we really kind of made a name for ourselves in terms of, you know, potentially causing a cup sets then at that time. The games after have always been a little bit tougher for me. That's my favourite one.
Go on, Jess.
One of the games that you faced Wolves was at Molineux. What was it like for you managing at Molineux?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, that comes very, very close to second that day, the County Cup final last year. Was just great. It was just great to get to the County Cup final, wasn't it? You know, it's always been Wolves and Albion. So that draw, when it came through as a semi-final, because, you know, there's always a talk that it was fixed. But I think it kind of showed that actually, you know, at the forefront of it, Stourbridge were seen as a big factor, as they are now in the Midlands. So being able to step out of massive controversy, one there was some Albion fan about it being at the Molineux, but, you know, and we at first thought, hold on a minute, what's going on here? But why on earth would you take any kind of, you know, negative from a Stourbridge point of view and allow the girls to step out at the Molineux? And the moment we were there, Jess, you know, I walked on the pitch. I've never stepped on I've played on some very good pitches and been on some very good pitches, but honestly, it was like carpet. It was just beautiful. So the whole night, the whole occasion, what Wolves did and what Wolves put on, and the people behind the scenes, regardless of it being a neutral cup final, was just incredible. And having the Wolves fans there, you know, the biggest moment for me was obviously we got to celebrate the kind of, you know, we obviously lost the County Cup, but we went over and celebrated with our fans, we winning the league, and kind of walked back towards you all as Wolves fans, and got a round of applause and a standing ovation, I think it was. And it was just, that for me, it was just a great moment. It was just like, wow, you know, we've been respected here, you know. Even though we've lost the game 3-0 and we defended for a lot of it, we've took a lot from it. So it was a great night. I loved every minute of it.
More competitive than playing the Albion, I'll be honest with you.
Always.
What is Macca like to manage against? You've commented in the first half about sort of the banter you've had with him on the sidelines, but what's he like to come up against?
The very first game, there's quite an interesting story. The very first game is, you can imagine what we both like. We're both very similar, I think, from what I hear. I obviously know Macca, but I don't know him massively personally, but I know of him. We're both very similar. So we're on the sideline probably shouting the same things. You know, if I ask for a foul, he's saying it's not, and vice versa. But I remember kind of having a pop up at one of his staff in the one of the first games, and him coming back at me, you know, calling me quite a funny name, and it just from then, kind of, you know, I think we built a level of respect with each other. I think on the sideline, you know, we had that little bit of, you know, he'd shout and I'd shout, and vice versa. But I think we've got that level of respect. I've got so much time for him. I as a manager, I look up to him. I think what he's done at Wolves has been understated in a sense, because it's Wolves. I think he's come in and completely changed the tide, got people to view Wolves in a different way, and build that women's section up there to where it should be. So he deserves a lot of credit. I've got a lot of time for him. I've reached out to him over this time whilst I've been off. It's a lot easier to do that when you're not a manager of another team. Dropped him a message last night to check in, you know, are you okay? Yeah, I know what it feels like when you've just lost a game like they did yesterday. We spoke briefly this morning. So it's been great, and hopefully now I'm a bit neutral. I can get to know him a little bit more and learn off him, really. He's offered me to come down and have a look behind the scenes at Wolves, which I thought was brilliant. You know, he asked that very early on, and I really respected that, because that helps me kind of keep in with stuff and learn how Wolves are going on. So for me, I've got a massive amount of respect for him, and you know, regardless of the banter and the games that we've had, I've got nothing but a lot of time for him.
Yeah, we won't talk about the game yesterday. It was. Lee said soonest mended. And well, we'll discuss referees offline. Tom.
Wow. You know,
yeah. Tom.
You can discuss referees and me. I've got some stories.
We'll come on to sending offs in a bit. Tom, do you want to come in?
Yeah. Who is the best Wolves player you've come up against?
Tammy George. I know Tammy. I don't know if you know the story around Tammy George. Am I allowed to say this? I think I am. Tammy George, I actually taught at the school she went to when she was in secondary school. So I know Tammy very well. I actually took her with other staff. I actually took her to her first trial with Wolves, would you believe it? We did a residential at school, and I saw her playing on the campsite that we were there, and I thought, hold on a minute. She's brilliant, you know. She's skipping around the lads and smashing the ball in the back of the goal. And I thought, right, okay. I was like, Tammy, who do you play for and stuff like that? And she hadn't got anything at the time. And I knew a guy called Lee Smith who worked behind the scenes at Wolves for the foundation. So I managed to get her a trial down there. So a little bit of a story there for you. And she's been with Wolves pretty much ever since. So for me, she's just got so much energy, so much energy. You know, she sent off yesterday for reading between the lines, because she's running around the pitch. She's ratty. She's getting kicked. She's kicking back, you know, and that's the type of player that I think you need in your midfield every game. I mean, she absolutely ripped us apart in the County Cup game. Didn't do as much in the last game. You know, we tried to do a bit of a number on her and get one of the girls to follow her around. But the County Cup game, she murdered us, really. And that's what she brings. And I know Macca rates her massively. So for me, just because she's been consistent over the last few years in all the games that we played, Tammy George, is for me the best.
It's really interesting. I didn't have that this prime, but I've just dug out a tweet that came out yesterday from a Forest fan. And I'll read it to you and I'll just be interested in your reaction. It boggles my mind how Tammy George is available to play more than a handful of matches in any given season. It's hard to tell if she's vicious or just low quality. Obviously, you didn't see the game yesterday. You weren't there. You were doing other things. But from what you've said, that's not the Tammy George you know. She's not vicious. She's not low quality.
She's feisty. Mm-hmm. She's feisty. But every manager should have a feisty midfielder. You know, you think about the Roy Keanes of the world, and she can score goals, Tammy. And don't get me wrong, I've been on the sideline, you know, as a Stourbridge manager, and I've been shouting at the referee, foul ref, you know, and again ref, because she consistently will do it at times, gets away with it sometimes or not. But that's the level we're at. That's the players that you want to see, you know, rattling and breaking up play. And you know, for me, I've heard Macca's comments yesterday, you know, 20 minutes into a game, and I'll bring it back to the game that we played midweek against yourselves, where Sophie was sent off. You know, 20 minutes into a game, if the one yellow card is a yellow card, okay, but the other one is as soft as, or not even a yellow card, and it goes back to the same situation where Sophie was sent off against Wolves in that midweek because she didn't take the throwing quick enough in the first 5 minutes of a game. You know, where's the common sense? Why on earth would we be slowing the game down in the first 5 minutes of a game for then a girl to be booked, for then to be, yes, of course, she kicked the ball at one of the Wolves players and 100% it was a yellow card. You know, it's just really, it's madness. And it sounds like that was pretty much what happened yesterday, you know, with Tammy. Mm. And 20 minutes into a game, you're able to, you know, get two yellow cards out of your pocket. It springs to me lack of playing the game, lack of understanding, and I've experienced it more than ever this season. It's almost like they've been prepped, the referees, to come out and be harsher and be much harder and stronger, but it's backfiring because it's making them make ridiculous decisions, and that was clearly the case yesterday.
Yeah, I won't go into it. I'll probably get myself into trouble if I did. But
I ain't a manager anymore, am I?
Well, exactly. Matt, do you want to come in?
Yeah, you're talking about that game back in September there. Do you think so early on in the season, you know, you're talking about feistiness? Well, that comes from the stands as well, doesn't it? So do you think if that was at the War Memorial with the fans behind you, potentially a feisty atmosphere under the lights, do you think there might have been a different outcome if you'd have got us the other way around and had us at home?
Yeah, I do. I absolutely do. I think the War Memorial is a different ball game. I think the Wolves game down at the War Memorial is going to be really, really intriguing. I think Mac will know that. I think teams have said about Stourbridge is that it's not a very nice place to go, not because it's nasty or there's a nasty feel. It's just because they get, you know, the Stourbridge fans get behind them massively. It's just a great place. It's one of those non-league stadiums in it. You know, it's great. So I do, Matty. I think it would have been different potentially. I think Wolves will always carry a number of fans anyway. You know, they've got a great following. So, but I wonder whether it would have been slightly different that day. I think if the referee and assistant were slightly different that day, it would have been much different for me, especially.
well, that brings in a good point. Jess, you got a question for Andy about that game.
Yeah, you just mentioned there about your sending off. Can you talk to us about what happened and what it was exactly for?
It was for foul and abusive language, I believe. So if you remember the first Wolves goal, and I know you questioned my opinion on it, is that, and looking back at it, I understand why. Obviously, in the moment, I couldn't understand. There was a foul on Libby, the goalkeeper, who had a stunning game, by the way, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
There's a foul on her, which the referees flagged play on. So he's acknowledged that there's a foul, but it's a foul on the goalkeeper. So the goalkeeper for me is key in the moment of the game. Yes, we lose possession, Sturridge do, but for me, common sense has to obey. He has to think, if Sturridge lose the ball, the goalkeeper's got to have to get up from the foul, reset. She could be injured, she may not be, who knows, but actually she's the goalkeeper. I need to give the foul here. That was my frustration. So I was venting that frustration with the linesman. I then stopped, and then ridiculously, one of the coaches kind of shouts up and swears and goes, you know, that was ridiculous. The linesman's then gone, well, that's the manager. So calls the referee over. So it was ultimately mistaken identity. But as I think the law says, I'm in charge of my own bench. We got irate. You know, and I was the one who took the bunt, and rightly so at that time. Even though it wasn't me who swore at the linesman, so that was the reason I got sent off. The difficulty was, and again, I can say this now because I'm not a manager, and I think Macca commented on the sideline actually about the officials on the day. We'd had the linesman the week before, and he'd not been great either. He was in the cup game at War Memorial. And Mike had been booked, my assistant, the new manager. So he'd been booked as well. So when they arrived, I just thought, oh dear, my card's numbered. So that was the reason for the sending off. Ended up, I mean, it was a free match ban. Obviously, I didn't have to do that in the end, but yeah, slightly harsh, I would say.
And just quickly on that one about the law, we had a podcast just before the start of the season where we went through the laws, and that was one of the ones we did discuss, was the responsibility of the manager for the dugout, and or senior person on the dugout, so manager's responsibility, can't identify who it was. So I mean, obviously you've come up against that Wolves team now. How do you rate this Wolves team this season?
I think they're still up there. I think regardless of yesterday, I think from what I can hear, from what I've heard, we're looking at social media, you know, they dominated the game yesterday. They were probably the better team. Obviously, I'm hearing that from a lot of the Wolves side. So Forrest might have different opinions, but I think Macca gives honest assessments. So I think, you know, if they've managed to stay in the game with 10 players, I think they're up there. Honestly, I think Newcastle and should be, and Lucky are exceptional. They just look a really powerful, fit group. I watched the game yesterday against Sturridge, and even though Sturridge defended a lot of the game, I just think Newcastle should be the forefront, you know, the front runners of the league. Do I think Wolves will challenge them? Yes, I do. Burnley will challenge. I think they're up there. I think they're very capable of doing it. I think Macca is realistic and probably understands that actually when you're competing against Newcastle full-time, training, you know, every day, blooming hell, I mean, that's hard going in it to even compare, to try and compete when girls have been at work all day and then they've got to get to training on the night. Newcastle aren't having to experience any of that. I think if Macca had the group full-time every day, I think we wouldn't be having this debate. It would be my answer to it. He's put in summary.
Yeah. Tom, do you want to come in? Tom? You there, Tom? Oh, we lost you. Okay. I'll just bring in... There you go, Tom. Go for it, mate.
Yeah, sorry. What do you think is Wolves' weak spot and where do we need strengthening?
that's a tough one.
That's why we asked it.
Yeah. I don't know is my honest answer. I think have they got several goal scorers, would I say? Do they need? I know. Of course they have. They score goals, and they've got some very talented players. I don't want to be disrespectful to. But do they need, you know, is it just those kind of, you know, out and out, going to go and get 20 to 30 goals, maybe? I don't know whether they have. If you think about, is it Jade Cross, the forward? Mm. What she was doing last few seasons, she was the out and out, banging in goals left, right and centre. you know, I think every team needs that. Centre mid, maybe. I wonder whether that's an area Mac is probably looking potentially. Somebody ratty as Tammy, maybe. But bar that, I mean, they're quite solid. Solid. I know they conceded two yesterday. I'm only going off when I've seen them play. Very solid at the back. For me, that'd be the two areas I'd say on the outside. I'm not on the inside, so I don't know. From a Stourbridge point of view, watching them against Stourbridge is the areas I would pinpoint.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Jess, do you want to come in on the next one?
What's something that you'd like to see the Wolves hierarchy do to support Jenna and Maka as well as the team?
Take them full time. I don't know the ins and outs of the finances, of course. You hear bits and bobs from the men's side. Obviously, you know, they've got full-time staff, Jenna, Claire, you know, they've backed that, you know, whether they're going to, Macca's going to go full-time or not, they need to do that. They need to support Macca. And for me now, they should be going, right, we've got the facilities, we're giving you facilities, we're backing you, you know, off the pitch with all the foundations. Now we need to go, can we turn this group into a full-time group like Newcastle? Because for me, I just believe that's what's going to need to happen to get you into the championship now, unfortunately, you know, and it's sad to say, because actually we should, you know, we shouldn't be talking about this, should we? We should be talking about, well, they'd be in the championship and probably would be full-time maybe, or they have to be full-time. So for me, it is, and I'm sure it's going on, I'm sure, knowing Macca and knowing Jenna and Claire, you know, Claire's great, by the way, you know, knowing those people and Laura behind the scenes, I'm sure then they are pushing to try and turn Wolves as professional as possible. And I think that's all they need. And I hope they're a local team. I hope that, you know, the owners see it and pump the money in that they need to make that happen. Because I think once that happens, I think Wolves will become a championship side in no time.
No, definitely. You've heard us before. We've banged on this drum before, yeah. So won't hear any arguments from us. Obviously, FA Cup first round on Sunday. One of the questions that Sportes asks is, even though Stourbridge are newly promoted, do you see this as a proper 50-50 FA Cup tie with a, I mean, it's not a cup set in that sense because we're the same tier, but possibility of a cup set there as well?
I think it would be a cup set. You know, I think if and that answered the question, I don't think it's 50-50. I still think, you know, Wolves are a better team. I don't think the manager, I don't think Mike or Stourbridge, you know, would think I was being disrespectful on that. If I was manager, I wouldn't be thinking any different. What I would say is that the team and the situation that we're in when we lost 3-0 midweek, where we were playing a three-game week, we were transitioning as a group, we'd come off the back of an heavy defeat. It's very different now. Mm-hmm. You're coming off the back of a 7-2 win. Yes, they've lost at the weekend to Newcastle, but expected. Drawing with Stoke, getting some good points, going away to Feds and getting a point last minute. You know, that for me is going to be a much, much more confident, organised Stourbridge. Don't forget the night in itself was, you know, we went down to 10 players, you know, 1-0 down, but we battled, the Stourbridge battled, and we organised, and we made it very difficult for Wolves. They're going to be very difficult to break down, and I think that's what you're going to see on Sunday. I don't think it's going to be plain sailing at all. I don't think Wolves expect that. Macca never does. I don't think against Stourbridge, he's always very respectful. So for me, I don't think it's a 50-50. I think it's a cup set if Stourbridge get anything from it. But I think it could be a much tougher test Sunday than maybe has been previously.
And obviously no Tammy George now, thanks to our friend the referee on there.
That's quite a factor for me.
Yeah. Tom, you've got the burning question at this moment in time.
Yeah, what is your score prediction for the FA Cup game at the weekend?
I'm still gonna go similar. I think it'll be a tougher game. I'm gonna go 3-1, maybe Stourbridge pinch one. They've had a couple of, you know, Stourbridge have had a couple of, they went 1-0 up against Burnley, penalty. Mm. You know, they missed a huge chance on Sunday with a 1-on-1. I watched the game against Newcastle to go 1-0 up, you know. So I think former they've got Wolf. It in them.
Yeah, former Wolves player, Ellie Butler.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, so she gets through and should have scored, really. So for me, there's a real opportunity for Stourbridge to go and score potentially a goal. So for me, I'm still going to go Wolves, but 3-1.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. It's going to be a real tough game out there. I don't think anyone doubts that. Andy, obviously, thank you very much for your time. Is there anything that you think we should have been asking you about, sort of either football in general or your coming up against Wolves that we've missed that you'd like us to ask you?
No, I think we've touched it all. It's been great talking to you. You know, I didn't think I'd ever be on a Wolves fan podcast as it is. So, you know, I appreciate you having me on. You know, I'm looking at doing these things now. So, I think you've touched base on it all. It's been great to talk it through, really, because one thing I haven't done since I've kind of left Stourbridge, apart from talk to people really close to me, is kind of talk it through and, you know, let people know how I am feeling. It's been a really difficult month mentally, you know, to step away from a project that you've built with people over the last 7 years and then seeing them get 8 points since you left is tough, isn't it? You know, but that's football, and that's the way it works. And seeing other players leave, it's been tough. But you know, I wish the best on Stourbridge, and you know, hopefully while I'm out there and doing bits, you know, some opportunity will come my way when the time's right, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
So will we see you at the New Bucks Head on Sunday? And
yeah, I'm commentating actually. I'm doing the radio, so I'll be there doing a bit of punditry as with Black Country Radio.
So we'll see you, and do come and say hello if you see us around. I'm sure we'll come and say hello as well. Guys, Tom, any final sort of questions for Andy from yourself?
No, that's it. Thanks for coming on, Andy.
No worries, Tom. Thank you, mate.
Yeah, Matt?
No, I think it's been really insightful. Yeah, thank you, and hope to see you back in the dugout soon.
Cheers, Matt.
Jess?
Yeah, no, that's it. Thank you.
Andy, obviously, so that people can follow you, any particular socials we should find you on?
Twitter at the moment. That's my kind of active football one when I do my stuff. So, yeah, follow me on Twitter.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, everyone. Obviously, please do follow us on social media. We're Wolves Women Pod on all your social media platforms. Obviously, please do give us a 5-star review where you can. And obviously, up the mighty Wolves, especially in the FA Cup next on Sunday. Cheers, guys. Thank you very much.